This is Norma Butson. Today's date is March 6, 1973. The time is 3:30 p.m. I will be interviewing John A. Roberts. The topics to be discussed are railroads in the Saginaw area. Okay. Mr. Roberts, what job did you perform on the railroad?
Worked for what was known as the Interurban Line here, or rather the Michigan Electric Railroad. This line started in Saginaw. The construction was completed in the year 1914, and Interurban Cars, Urban Line operated here prior to 1910 from Flint to Bridgeport. There was no direct line into Saginaw at that time. They, later on in years, secured permission to come into Saginaw and extended their line from Bridgeport into Saginaw. Then in 1914, a line was completed from Bay City to Saginaw, which was known as the Third Rail. This gave the Michigan Electric Railroad over its own lines operating rights from Bay City through Saginaw to Bridgeport, Frankenmuth Junction, Birch Run, Clio, and into Flint. There it connected with what was known as the Detroit United Railway. They in turn operated interurban cars right into the downtown area of Detroit. And DUR had several lines extending out in a spider web effect from the metropolis of Detroit. Michigan Electric Railroad also had other lines, one of which was the Michigan United Traction Line, which ran from Saginaw, from Owosso to Lansing, then into Jackson, Michigan, and from Jackson, Michigan, the line extended into Detroit to the east, and westerly went into Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Ann Arbor, etc. It was quite a vast system, and for its time, about pretty close to 600 miles of mainline trackage. Most of it was overhead trolley wire. Some was third rail. Well, the best part of the line they had was from Grand Rapids to Kalamazoo into Battle Creek and Jackson. They also maintained a double track main line, which was known as the Muskegon, Grand Rapids, and something else. I can't think of it offhand. I'd have to get my book out and refer to it. But the demise of the interurban line started in the years when the automobile started to become popular. And then from that time, it was just a gradual letdown. Some lines went out quite early. Others lasted up until the 60s, and we still have one or two interurbans operating today. I say two, probably only one, if you want to call it an interurban, although it's a heavy electric, and that's the Chicago South Shore and South Bend. That is still in operation. There are other lines being built, but they will be known as rapid transit systems rather than an interurban.
Was it mostly financial problems that caused the trains in Michigan to go out of business, or what do you suppose the reason was?
No, the Saginaw-Detroit line was a profitable line to the extent that, to my knowledge, that it never operated in the red.
Was that right?
Its monies went into holding up other lines that were not as profitable. But again, you had the automobile factor.
And trucks, too?
It was just the advent of the automobile, plus the fact that the interurban lines in the previous years had not raised their rates enough or asked permission to raise their rates enough so that they could compete in a good monetary fashion in order to keep their road, et cetera, and so forth. Mm-hmm. naturally everything started going downhill, and this line here terminated operations in, I believe it was May of 1929. Yeah. So you can see what an effect the automotive industry, even though it was an infant yet, had on the railroads in as early as 29.
Do you think if the government subsidized the trains like they do over in Europe, that they would have lasted, or they could come back and be profitable now?
Well, maybe not the interurbans, but possibly certain mainline, what we knew then as interurbans, could have been furthered by government subsidizing.
Why didn't they do that? I never understood that.
I don't know. The government at that time apparently didn't want much to do with them. They just felt that they should not put government monies into a private enterprise.
Oh, and they considered trains private.
Right, absolutely. Steam lines as well as electric interurban lines. They were a private entity unto themselves. They were simply regulated by ICC. Rules and regulations for operation, discontinuance of lines, permission to build a new line, etc. There, at one time, for example, the Pier Marquette in Saginaw had right around 50 passenger trains a day operating in and out of Saginaw. I know this is hard to believe, but it's a fact. And the Pier Marquette operated trains into the Thumb area, to Ludington, to Grand Rapids and Chicago, to Detroit and Toledo. It was not a small line. It later on was taken over, as you know, by the Chesapeake and Ohio. New York Central had several trains a day in and out of Saginaw. I can recall two trains a day to Jackson, Michigan, Bay City to Jackson, of what they would know as a daytime and a nighttime train. The same way with Detroit, four trains a day. One train would terminate at Bay City, the other would go on through to Mackinac City, which they had a ferry there, and then would transfer the cars and passengers by ferry over to St. Ignace, where they would be picked up by the Duluth South Shore and Atlantic and taken out of St. Ignace.
Oh.
So,
Right up to the top of Michigan.
Right up to the top of Michigan. The Detroit and Mackinac operated mainly from Bay City to Sheboygan. They held that little territory to themselves. No other railroad ever wanted to get in there. And it appears today that they'll probably be the only railroad operating. They have a direct line connection now with the CNO. Therefore, they could get freight from them. However, if they discontinue the New York Central, or Penn Central as it is now known, we don't know what'll happen. Pennsylvania Railroad had a line running up out of Indiana into Grand Rapids and then right up onto Mackinac City, up through Traverse City and Belair in there. As a result,
What were the chief advantages of the trucks over the railroad?
Well, Norma, accessibility. The freedom of the truck line to be able to go over the public highways into smaller communities so that the customer that freight goods were shipped to from the smaller towns did not have to come into the freight depot and pick up their packages. Years ago, it was the subject was broached to the railroads of starting truck lines, dray lines. They didn't want any part of it. They said, we have dray operating outfits and we'll let them handle it. To me, this was an error on the part of the railroad. I don't say I'm right, but at the time that it was cutting off your nose to spite your face, so to speak, and therefore giving the truck lines a big foot to pick up this freight at the freight stations and peddle to John Doe, etc., so on and so forth. All of which they could have done just as well as the truck lines, and therefore kept the truck lines in the graces of the railroad. There are truck lines today, as you well know, that are owned by the railroads. They finally woke up and realized that this is money in our pocket.
Do you think the mass transit systems have a future in Michigan and the metropolitan areas?
Oh, definitely. And maybe even further than the metropolitan area. But for now, I'd say without question, it's a proven fact that highways that are built today, as a general rule, and this is hard to believe, that as a general rule are declared inefficient or obsolete even before their completion. Due to the increase of traffic and the change of conditions that affect that road. This was demonstrated, as you know, with this new interchange that was built in Genesee County at Flint.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still building on those interchanges. I don't believe that the highway is the answer. I am a firm believer that there is a place for mass transit, rapid transit, where I live in Pontiac, say, 30 miles away from Detroit, and I can jump on a high-speed private right-of-way train and be in downtown Detroit within 15, 20 minutes. This is a possibility.
Are they trying those in some cities now, aren't they?
San Francisco, for one, is just completing the new BART system, Bay Area Rapid Transit. Chicago is ordering a block of new cars and contemplating new routes. Philadelphia is doing the same thing. How many more areas? I don't know.
Maybe Michigan will follow.
It's been talked about in Michigan. Whether Michigan will do it or not, I don't know, but I sure hope they will.
That's a good idea. What job did you perform on the railroad?
When with Michigan Electric Railroad, I was known as a property inspector. I worked out of the president's office out of Jackson, Michigan, which was then controlled by Consumers Power Company. And I oversaw track overhead lines and operating equipment for this area, the Flint, Bay City area, and Lansing, Owosso. Other men took it as far as far north as Lansing. I was only with them a short time, a little over a year, and then left here and went with Twin City Lines in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And of course, they're gone now. Twin City Lines was a streetcar system, one of the finest, and one of the best laid out in the United States, according to the persons that know the most about transit systems. It was very modern in its time, good, clean, fast cars. They also had an interurban system which ran out to Lake Minnetonka and Robbinsdale and a few other areas like that, all owned by the same company. They built their own cars.
How long did you work with them?
Not much more than a year, and then left that and went into another endeavor.
Oh. Is there any other aspect about railroads that people who hadn't been here, say, 50 years ago wouldn't know about this area?
Well, it was interesting. I used to spend quite a bit of time walking down to the Pier Marquette or walking over the bridge to the New York Central. And incidentally, the Grand Trunk Western was in here. They had a beautiful old Victorian depot on the east side. It's now gone. And they had, to me, kind of a quaint, dinky little engine that ran up from Durand, Michigan to Bay City with a 2- and 3-car passenger train. I can remember it. Compared to the big ones that were coming in here on the Pier Marquette and the New York Central, that one looked like a toy. But it was quite an interesting era.
Sort of a boom era, right?
Well, the boom was over.
Oh, it was over.
It had gotten down to the nitty-gritty of do we operate or don't we operate? And it's hard for people to believe, and particularly younger people, When a freight engine, for example, was starting out with a heavy load, on each crack of the exhaust, the ground would actually tremble. This is the power that was exerted by a steam engine. It's hard for a lot of young people to believe that.
Is that when people used to put their ear down on the track and they could hear it?
Well, that was just the sound of the wheels going along steel with the clickety-clickety-click at the rail joints that would be transmitted for miles through the rails.
Before you could see it.
You could see it, right. But the other, you could actually feel, stand beside it, and it would just shake the ground. Not that the ground was weak or anything. They were just tremendously powerful engines. Incidentally, if any of the your students are in the Lansing area, I suggest they stop into Michigan State College and see that big engine that they have on the campus that several inspired young members of the club and the students who are doing a beautiful job of refurbishing an engine down there in the hopes that they can get a railroad to let them operate it on their railroad.
Oh, where is this located?
Right on the campus. Right on the campus. Right just east of the police department and south and east of the stadium. It's you can't miss it if you go back. Anybody knows where it is on the campus. And it's a huge engine. It's known as a Berkshire type. It was used by the C&O, but the Pere Marquette had sister engines, like the one I pointed out to you on the wall. And they were very similar. They were built by the Lima Locomotive Works. And they had 275 pounds steam pressure per square inch. They were known as Berkshires, as I have said, and the drive wheel arrangement, the wheel arrangement, was 284. In other words, a pilot wheel of two wheels, pilot truck, I should say, of two wheels, drive wheels eight, and a trailing truck of four wheels. Incidentally, in the trailing truck, there was what is known as a booster, a steam booster, which assisted the engine in getting started. It was a small, powerful little steam engine directly connected with the wheels on the trailing truck. And they would assist an engine tremendously in getting started. If they're ever down there, I suggest that they stop and see, because it's one of the larger engines that operated in the state of Michigan. They're almost gone today. There's no more passenger trains in Saginaw. The Pere Marquette went out years ago. Likewise, the Grand Trunk went out before the Pere Marquette did. Of course, the Grand Trunk only had that one line running from Durand to Bay City, whereas the Pere Marquette had several, but one by one they tapered off, and the last run on the Pere Marquette was from Detroit to Saginaw. The last run on the Michigan Central, or it was originally the Michigan Central, then went New York Central, and is now Penn Central. It ceased operation in the late 60s, and that was only from Detroit to Bay City. So the Jackson run had been discontinued years before that. Just a general rundown in for three or four factors, not just one reason, not just because the automobile came in. There were several factors. Likewise with the interurban line, what slowed them down later on in years, when the picture started to come what was happening, they still continued to run through all these small towns because their tracks were laid there. They didn't try to get away from that, which I believe that they should have, that they should have put a few more dollars into their roadway investment and corrected these situations so they could have good high-speed running and not be going through, because that started to drop off, that pickup. It got so that it was, can I go from Detroit to Saginaw in so much time and save money, or is it better for me to drive my automobile? Understand, the roads weren't too hot in those days either. Mm. So salesmen took the train and the interurban rather than that. But when the roads started improving, that did it. So.
It must have been an interesting time to live.
It was.
Yeah. Must have been sad to see all the railroads go.
Well, I'll say this. In my years of life, I've seen a lot of changes. And truthfully, most of them I've enjoyed. I really have. I hated to see the railroads go the way they have. I hope to see them back in some form. I look to see the day come when we'll have a good high-speed hotshot train right from Saginaw to Detroit. Yeah. And it could be made to be a paying operation. This is just it. But it needs patronage. And people
maybe
are...
Maybe with pollution and things coming
in. Well, this is it. It's got to be electric because... Mm-hmm. You mentioned pollution, and they talk about a dirty steam locomotive. Mm-hmm. Well, there isn't anything dirtier than diesel fuel.
Oh.
And it pollutes the air more than a steam locomotive ever thought of polluting the air. Mm-hmm. This is, they usually don't get into this subject. They stay away from it. Electric is the cleanest, without question.
If people would realize that if they all took the train, didn't drive their car.
But again, are the people willing to support it? Are the people willing to have their tax monies taken and put into a rapid transit system? I think if they stop and think for a while, yes. As a matter of fact, you recall recently there's been a lot of talk on Governor Milliken's proposed transportation system that the city of Detroit was going to get the bulk of it. Well, naturally, the city of Detroit is going to get the bulk of it. That's where the bulk of the are in the state of Michigan. It isn't that they're not considering us on the outside. That's where it's needed now, is mass rapid transit.
Right.
Once that is established, I believe you will see it come out
to other lines,
possibly Lansing, possibly Grand Rapids, possibly Detroit, Saginaw. Again, can Norma Butzin jump in a train and be in Detroit in an hour's time, right downtown Detroit?
Well, I think it'd be great. I'd like
it is. It's possible.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Norma.